Please get your Bibles out to John chapter 4. The lectionary text is verses 5 through 42. That's a long narrative. Let's start reading at verse 5 on page 94 in your pew Bibles, and we'll take it down through verse 15. This is a wonderful narrative to read through verse 42. But I'm going to read down through verse 15, picking up at verse 5. This is Jesus and the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Very interesting text. As you read it, note how misunderstanding helps to bring the narrative forward. Verse 5. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Keep on reading that text, because it is a fascinating discussion between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And we're going to look at a part of it this morning. Again, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for those words of life from our Lord Jesus Christ to bless her heart, Samaritan woman, and help us hold on to you. And you hold on to us as we go through life. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the commentators I read this week said, verse 10, circle verse 10. Take it home and circle it. Put it on your refrigerator. One of the most important texts in all of Scripture, verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." As you read this narrative, you will notice from John's gospel that it advances on the back of several misunderstandings between the Samaritan woman and Jesus. This is no fault of the Samaritan woman. She's doing the best she can. She's helping us understand who Jesus really is. Throughout this narrative, Jesus speaks of living water. And most commentators say that means the Holy Spirit. But the woman thinks it must be some kind of special H2O that she can drink of and never need to bring a bucket again to the well. Or never again be thirsty. I just ran 5 miles. I'm so thirsty. Whew, Somebody give me some water. Jesus goes on to reveal later in the narrative the details of her personal life, which she has not told him of. And then she perceives him to be a prophet. She hasn't quite grasped who Jesus really is, but she's on her way. Everybody be patient with her. After Jesus reveals to her that he is the Messiah, she leaves her jar of water at the well and goes back to tell all those folks in the city, "Can this man be the Messiah?" She's getting there. Be patient with her. She's getting there. This text is so very important for faith formation. Jesus gives us a free gift, the Holy Spirit, who equips us to forgive and love others, to enjoy the wonders of God's creation. I thought it was going to be a more significant snow event. To live with joy, even when life is a struggle, and to have power, when we bear witness to our living Lord, Jesus Christ. All we have to do is to ask Jesus for a drink of living water, and he will grant our request to ask. Let me underline this. To ask Jesus is a form of belief. And the power of Jesus' living water is beyond our wildest dreams, our most expected expectations. Jesus has the power to break down so many barriers. Don't we live in a culture where we're always setting barriers between ourselves and others? In our story, Jesus, being a good Jew, asked a Samaritan woman for a drink of water. Please note, in first century Palestine, Jewish men were not supposed to chat with foreign women in public. And to all my feminist friends, you realize in the first century in Palestine, the low status of all women. So keep going with the text. Jesus even, watch this, offered salvation to a foreigner. Oop! A foreigner. And many Samaritans who Jews were not really fond of for many theological reasons. Many Samaritans came to faith because of the woman's witness as well as because of the words of Jesus himself. Jesus was busy overcoming the rules and regulations of first century Palestinian culture. He was busy breaking down barriers. Today, you and I can be recipients of Jesus' living water, the Holy Spirit, the giver of abundant life, deep, lasting life. We ask, Jesus gives. Now, let me ask you something. You don't have to raise your hand or tell me out loud, but this morning, are you feeling pretty down the dumps for whatever reason? Is this a difficult Sunday for you to come to church? Has this past week been a real bummer? Loved ones terribly ill? Perhaps you've experienced the death of a loved one or dear friend this week. Maybe one of your relatives is experiencing some type of extreme mental, emotional stress. Maybe you have a child who's growing up and showing you increasingly more hostile behavior toward you and your spouse as parents. Maybe your finances this week have gone like this. Life can be so mean, so brutal, so mean-spirited, seems like just like that. Yet into the very midst of our circumstances, into the very midst of our lives together, Jesus comes offering us a place to rest, an arm to lean on, a confidence and a certitude in a world of conflict and chaos. Jesus tells us to ask him for a drink of living water, and we will never thirst again. Because Jesus' Spirit will be dwelling in us, and we will experience his presence on a daily basis, even when life grows so difficult, so amazingly brutal, hard, conflicted, mean. We will be given a strength, a confidence, a peace that is beyond our wildest dreams, because we will have Christ dwelling in us from now on. I know many of you could take time this morning to stand up right now and testify how God has strengthened you and your family in the midst of some horrible event, a brutal, hostile divorce, a bankruptcy, a suicide attempt, a cancer diagnosis, an addiction to some drug or alcohol. Jesus tells us in Matthew's gospel, check out the very end of it, that he will always be with us, always be with us, even to the close of the age. And that means forever. Nothing, St. Paul says, can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. I want to be making sure I am plain this morning, plain spoken. Paul means no thing, no one, no situation can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. Let me give you a personal example of how your pastor has been thick-headed. Okay, KYG, for 65 years.
Good gosh, Michael, you old as dirt.
It took me 65 years to realize that cardiovascular disease runs in my family rampantly. High blood pressure, my good doctor told me, can kill you or it can stroke you out. You better get fixed, young man. Well, with the help of good doctors, who literally scared me to death, with the help of watching what I eat, I'm happy to tell y'all I have not eaten a burger in over a month. But the point is, don't applaud for me, applaud for willpower. Exercise, I'm trying my very best to understand God's salvation by limiting the destructiveness of Big Macs, sweet tea, recliners, and genetic predispositions. Most importantly, I rely upon my faith in Jesus to help me say, no, no, I don't need a double whopper with cheese. No, I don't need it. Oh, I don't need that big slice of carrot cake. How big was that thing on your plate this high? Who baked that cake?
Your wife. It wants to collect death benefits.
Oh, no.
Who can say no to Little Debbie's and flour and sugar and salt and sodas?
But I can tell you, Kirkwood, on my own personal journey, if I could not experience the help of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I would never on my own have the willpower to join my little shipyard retiree buddy and we go walking 30 minutes a day in our neighborhood. I would have said if he had called me 2 months ago, I am too busy. I have a church of 300 people I got to take care of. You go walk in the neighborhood. My world is wonderful as it is. You see, I think this little narrative of Michael being thick as a brick to understand how we experience salvation in Jesus, we do so in a very public setting. You and I. With me, my doctors, my neighbors, my wife, y'all's prayers and encouragement are all pulling me back from that abyss where the surgeon said, "You are walking death." I am, because I'm bald-headed. Yes, because you're old as dirt. So Kirkwood, that simple little narrative is to remind all of us, no matter what you are going through, remember this. Jesus is offering you and me living water. Living water. And don't be surprised, Kirkwood, if that living water comes to you in the form of those you love and care about, and even in the person of strangers who will quickly become your friends. Living water is a wonderful gift. Drink of it as much as you can. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, help us to avail ourselves of the living water your Son offers. And no matter what our particulars in our own lives, help us to experience the salvation you offer and rejoice because you love us and so many others love us. And let us be encouraged by that fact. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.